Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, broadcasting once again live, unrehearsed, and unscripted all over the world. On Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live to all of Captain Joe's people from Singapore in one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, of which Stockholm is the capital. On voiceofvashon.org. I have a wonderful program. All of my programs are wonderful, but I particularly have one because, once again, I am in that happy state of being surrounded by a beautiful and strong woman, which is the kind of people that I like to have when we are sitting across from me. So I'm going to, Callie, I'm going to ask you to say good afternoon and say that it is one bell of the afternoon watch. That will tell me that you are on the board, and then I will give my regular greeting, and then we'll go on from there.
Well, hello. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. My name is Callie Marie Wagner, and I am so happy to be on with you, Captain Joe.
Thank you, Callie, and you are on the board. I could see the little needles dancing around, just like you eyes are dancing around as we begin our half hour together. I reminded Callie that one of the missions of this particular broadcast is that for all of you of Captain Joe's people who give me half hour of your life every Tuesday, that you leave at the end of that half hour feeling better about yourself and about the world in which we live. And I guarantee that that's what's going to happen here with us this afternoon. To start off with, though, I deliver my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, and in particular to those who came to see me on Sunday. Many of you came to see the troll which has now been installed in the upper car park of Point Robinson Light Station Park. But many people came to came down the hill and came to see me to reassure themselves that I remain up in the captain's chair, and in particular, young Jackson, who was able to collect some really good crab shells out on the beach, and all of the other old friends who came to visit because that was my last Sunday tour day for this particular season. About the binnacle list, Callie, do you know what the binnacle list is? The binnacle list is the sick list, and it's called that because in sailing ship days, the ship surgeon would create a list of all of the crew members who were not able to go to work. They were not able to answer the call to sail stations, and he would write it down on a piece of paper and then would carry it all the way back aft to the binnacle, which is the stand in which the compass is, and from which the helmsman would be watching the compass when he was steering. And the list would be hung off of the binnacle. And so even today, hundreds of years later, we still call it the binnacle list. And I always mention the binnacle list at the beginning of my broadcast because I want to make sure that everyone who is on the binnacle list is carrying out the instructions of their particular medical provider so that they leave the binnacle list in the approved fashion, which is not to have crossed the bar. Flu shots are out. I have had mine, and it'd be enough for me from the captain's chair to remind all of my people that that's one of the things that we need to do, and now is the time to do it. And furthermore, I have been advised by my own primary care physician, the ever-wonderful Dr. Chris Smith, that there is also an inoculation for the RPV. Is that what it is? The the respiratory virus that is hitting so many people, and there will soon be another COVID booster. All of you out there who have resisted the COVID booster know my position on this, and that is go ahead and get it. Now, with having said all of that, I've got Callie Marie sitting across from me, and we're going to start our time together by asking you to tell us just a little bit about yourself and in particular, how you came to the magical Isle of Vashon.
Well, thank you. Yes, my name is Callie. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in Auburn, Washington. And I am a wife, a mom, a yogi, a adventurer. And my husband, Mark, and I came to the island 2.5 years ago because my husband's job brought us here. He is a pastor at the Methodist Church on the island. So that's why we're here, and we love it. It's a wonderful place.
Tell me how pastors in the Methodist Church, or in this particular case, how were you recruited?
Yeah, so they were looking for an innovator on the island to help build partnerships with the community, kind of innovate how we do church on the island, because in particular, the Methodist Church is slowly, I wouldn't say dying, although people are dying, but their numbers are dwindling. And so they're looking for ways to innovate how we can engage the community, how we can be a beacon of love and justice, maybe not focus on numbers, but how we can help serve the community. And so Mark was up for the job. And so here we are.
So I have met Mark.
Yes.
And have had a short but pithy conversation mm-hmm. with him. But we did not get into any of the either theological or operational or administrative. And in the conversation that you had before we went on the air, you said that in the division of labor in your household, mm-hmm. that Mark is the professional when it comes to that sort of thing. But you certainly have to have some thoughts and some ideas about it. So Callie is sitting right across from me, and I have to bring this up at this point. And that is that Callie is young. She is certainly beautiful. Mm-hmm. She is intelligent. She is all of those things that we like to have in people around us. And she clearly has a good heart. And I know this because she was recruited for her working life by someone with whom I have such a high regard. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But in my usual convoluted and Byzantine way, I'm coming up on a visual with Callie. And that I would think would be very unusual in the wife of a pastor of a church of any denomination. And that is that she is very smartly attired this morning, and she's wearing a short sleeve top. And that exposes, no, that's not quite the right word, that discloses for all of us who want to see it, her tattoos on her arm. Now, we're not going to get into the captain's opinions about tattoos because that is a choice that each person must make, along with many other choices that each person must make, and that's up to them. Mm. And so, but I have your permission, because I asked this before we got started, for you to tell exactly how that happened and the reaction that you get from your parishioners, yeah. Some of your parishioners.
Well, truth be told, my husband, Mark, who is a pastor, had tattoos before I did, and we actually got one together. So just laying that out there. But yeah, some people in the church have verbally told me that they don't like tattoos, but they love me, so they love my tattoos. Uh-oh. So definitely people have their opinions, but I really love them. They bring me joy, and they have a lot of meaning. So I felt like I wanted to get them.
Tell me what the meaning is.
Yeah, so this beautiful tattoo is
which is on your right arm,
yes.
On the right upper arm, right by the shoulder.
Yep, these are all birth flowers of my family. So my dearest souls to me, my daughter, my husband, my sister, my mom and dad. It's all their flowers that signify their birth month.
All right.
Yes.
Are your parents both still alive?
They still are, yes.
And where do they live?
My mother lives in Spokane, Washington, and my dad and his wife live in Florida sometimes. They have a Sprinter van. They kind of are wandering nomads and live all over, but sometimes in California, sometimes up here in their van.
A Sprinter van with
yes.
with the three-pointed star?
Oh, I don't know.
A Mercedes Sprinter van?
Not a Mercedes. It's like a Ford. Maybe I guess it's not a Sprinter.
Okay. I just...
one of those built-out vans.
I'm trying to squeeze that one out because I am a sequential owner of the three-pointed star.
Okay.
So
yes.
So when you came onto the island... Mm-hmm. And were told by parishioners that they did not care for your tattoos, but they loved you.
Yes.
Then you also were looking for some employment.
Yes.
And you went to work for Vashon Adventures.
I did.
And how did all that happen?
Well, I got very lucky. So we live right behind the church in the parsonage, and it's about a 2-minute walk to Vashon Adventures in Uptown here. And we would do the same walk with our dog and our daughter every day, and we'd pass Vashon Adventures and got to know Erin, the business owner there, and would start conversation with her. And my husband is a huge networker and very confident and assertive, and he was walking by one day without me and saw Erin and said, "Hey, do you just love your job so much, or do you think you might want some help? Because I know just the girl for you, my wife, Callie." And so he connected us, and we talked on the phone and then met, and it was, you know, she wanted me. So I feel very lucky that I get to work there. Erin is one of my favorite humans, as you know.
Yes.
And, yeah, I love my job.
Too.
Yes.
So this gives you the opportunity to say something nice about Vashon Adventures. Yeah. What does Vashon Adventures do? What does it sell? What does it promote? And although I know the answers to these questions, I want to hear your characterization of your work, because I do talk about island businesses, and I like to particularly promote island businesses and island people using island businesses. So.
Yeah. Well, we're all about getting people outside to play and have great adventures. We do e-bike rentals, kayak, stand-up paddleboard rentals, and we also manage some campsites on the island. And I mainly work at the e-bike rental shop in town, and we get people outside on e-bikes to explore our beautiful island, send them down to the lighthouse a lot, send them to farm stands, to beaches, just, yeah.
So if I came in to Vashon Adventures cold, not because I came in to see Erin or to see you or to use the head.
Yes.
You know that I will give you a little bit of a plug here that Vashon Adventures and Erin in particular, and now Callie, because I was there when Callie was briefed on this particular characteristic of Vashon Adventures. I have a network of places here on the island where if you find yourself in the need of a head call and you don't particularly need to buy anything at Ace Hardware or rent an e-bike, you're still welcome to go into any one of those businesses and use the head. The only requirement is that you be gracious, courteous, that you leave the head in better shape than it was. Well, it's good because I happen to know the condition that they're in. But have a quick visit and say thank you, that this is something that we have put it together over the years. And so I'm coming in.
Yes.
And I'm not coming in to see you or to see Erin or to make a head call, although I might well make one while I'm there. One does not pass up the opportunity when it presents itself, especially in advanced years. So I'm coming in and I'm saying to you, lovely lady, I see that there are these maroon bicycles out in front. And I think I might like to ride around around the island. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So I would say these are our lovely e-bikes. They are pedal assist e-bikes. So there's 4 levels of assist. It'll help you up all the amazing hills that we have on the island. And I would ask you what you would like to go see. And I would show you our beautiful map and give you a suggested route depending on your athletic ability, how long you want to go out for, and give you suggestions of little gems on the island that we love. So... Yeah.
Do you send people to the bicycle in the tree?
No, we don't usually. I mean, people ask about it, but that's not typically a place we send people to, no.
I do.
You do? Okay, good.
I do.
Yeah.
But I haven't visited it lately, okay. And I am concerned that pieces of it have been taken away.
Yeah, that's why I've heard that people are discouraged from going to see it now because it's been vandalized, unfortunately, so...
And there are no signs or anything like that. You really have to know where it is.
Yeah.
But it is on one of the maps. It's on the map, I think, that's in the middle of Destination Vashon.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm sitting right across from your theological competitor, the Vashon Presbyterian
Our
Church.
Our friends, you mean.
Yes. Yes. And the signboard today says, Your Story Matters.
Mm.
Now, I am sort of a storyteller, and I believe that all of my stories matter a lot.
Yeah.
And I know that your story matters, and in particular, I want to talk about the part of your story that has to do with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that your daughter is both adopted and is adopted from another country.
Yeah.
So tell all of us about that, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's name is Maria Rose Wagner. We gave her a new middle name when we adopted her 3 years ago. She was 6 years old, and we adopted her from Bogota, Colombia. So we were supposed to go in March of 2020, but then COVID happened. So we actually got to do 17 video calls with her on Zoom before we ever even met her, which was a huge gift. And then we picked her up in September of 2020. And yeah, it's been a roller coaster of adventure and... But she is a joy, and yeah.
Is she, she was old enough that her language was Spanish?
Yes. English at all.
No English at all?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How did you manage that?
Well, my husband has a little more Spanish than I do, but I did 2 years in high school and worked really hard before we went to adopt her to learn more. But a six-year-old vocabulary, we were able to communicate with her and solely in Spanish for a good 6 months to a year when she came back to the States. And then she worked really hard to learn English. And now she understands Spanish and can understand everything in Spanish, but won't speak it because she worked so hard, I think, to learn English that she's sticking with that for now. So
where do you have her in school?
She's at Chautauqua Elementary and she's in third grade.
So when you adopted her, was she in some sort of a facility? Was she in an orphanage or something?
No, she was in foster care, actually.
Okay.
So they have a great foster care program in Colombia, and she was in two different homes after she left her family of origin. So she was with Tia Betty and then Tia Miriam when we got her. Yeah.
When I do parts of my broadcast in which I talk about children and grandchildren. Mm. They are a big part of my life, of course. I have, depending on how we count them, 18 grandchildren.
That's amazing.
And some of them are now old enough to come here on their own. Mm. In your daughter's case, when she was taken from the family with which she was living at the time that you adopted her. Mm-hmm. What was the emotional, if any, emotional challenge, or did it, was this something that went really smoothly? And I ask this question because I am one of the most fortunate of men.
Mm.
And part of my family, one of my sons, is an adopting machine. Mm-hmm. He has adopted now, I think, four children.
Wow!
And one of them was completely blind, blind from birth, has never seen, and is now 13.
Wow!
So grandchildren, because they are still forming.
Mm-hmm.
Our children, my children, are all grown. Whatever forming they've done, they've done.
Mm.
And I'm enormously proud of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the grandchildren are where they're the ones that are going to pick up the hawser from all of us. Mm. And so I'm asking this question because some of the transitions that we have had in the family with children that were being adopted were very, very difficult.
Yeah.
How about with you?
Yeah, so we are her sixth home that she has been a part of.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of transition for her by the age of six. So as you can imagine, a lot of loss and grief for her, having to leave different homes and people that she formed attachments with. And so as much as they prepared my husband and I, and we did a lot of training on trauma, and she had a lot of preparation, a lot of counsel. I mean, it was still extremely difficult. I would say the first 2 years forming that bond and attachment were extremely painful all around. But we are closer than ever now. I mean, 3 years in, I would say in the last 6 months, we've finally reached a place of peace. And she knows that she's not going anywhere. But her little body, every 2 years, she would move, or shorter than that. So I think she's finally in a place of knowing that we're it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of difficulty.
How about in school?
Yeah, she had a hard couple years, and just, you know, her little body would act out without her even realizing what was going on because of the grief and mm-hmm. the loss that she had been through, and not knowing English and being different than other kids. I think she went through a lot. I mean, I know she did, but she is resilient and has always been incredibly happy and very affectionate and loving. So she's gone through it. She's very strong. And this year, I feel like, has been the smoothest so far. She seems to be really maturing and learning. She's, you know, knows more English, so it's easier for her, for sure. So
I, at this point, mm-hmm. make a declaration of well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done to you and to your husband and to her and to all of Captain Joe's people who have taken on the enormous challenge of raising children that came to you later in their lives and later in your lives. Mm-hmm. And I have several examples of this in my own mm-hmm. family. But I take this opportunity to recognize that, and recognize that the challenges that go with that mm-hmm. are some of them can sometimes be daunting. There must have been times when you said, this is really hard. Maybe
yeah.
this is too hard.
Mm,
did you ever feel that?
Yeah, I was actually just journaling. It's been 3 years. 3 days ago was 3 years since we brought her home. And I was reflecting on just the pain and the moments of absolute desperation, honestly thinking, what have we done? Like, why did we do this?
Mm-hmm.
This is horrible. And I want to go back. But I mean, I would never make that decision. But definitely there were some low times where I felt very desperate. And I can't imagine how she felt. You know, I'm an adult and grown and have, you know, my emotions are more stable. And she's just a little girl. So I can't imagine the pain.
So when you were growing up yourself,
mm-hmm. yeah.
It sounds to me as if you had a pretty good childhood. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we have people who have had a good childhood, mm-hmm. Were your high school years good for you?
Yes. Yeah.
See, you may be not an exception, but there are so many people for whom high school is terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was really good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very happy and loving childhood.
Yeah, good.
It didn't last very long because World War II came mm-hmm. and my dad went overseas. But
yeah.
And I grew up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was one of those people who believed that the men in the house, regardless of their age, should learn how to fix the well pump.
Wow.
And so I learned how to do things like that when mm-hmm. I was 10 years
wow.
old. But that also taught me resilience.
Absolutely.
And it taught me how to go into the manual and read the book and mm-hmm. figure out how to fix things. So I raise all of these issues because it's always interesting to me that people who take on mm-hmm. Children that are challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said that there was some physical challenge involved here as well.
Yeah.
So all of these things working mm-hmm. together. And when you get to the point where you say it is too hard, And I've had that happen in my own family. I've had parents come to me and say either Dad or Joe, whatever it was they called me, or Captain Joe. Two of my children call me Captain Joe. And my answer always was, how long has this been going on? How long have you been dealing with this? I had a case not too long ago. Somebody came into the Lighthouse and wanted to quit teaching. And I said, how long have you been doing it? Well, Captain Joe, I've only been doing it 2 years, but it's too hard. It's so hard. So that earned lecture number 42. Lecture number 42 is the one that says we'd never give up the ship. Clearly, you didn't give up the ship, and you are earning, in military parlance, Bravo Zulu. Well done. I only have a couple minutes left, and so is there anything that you would like to leave with Captain Joe's people all over the world? You are clearly a happy person in yourself, and I really like that. And you clearly have worked through some very difficult challenges and have not given up the ship, and I really like that. Is there anything you would like to add before I make my closing remarks?
Sure. Two things.
All right, good. Let's have two things.
Come visit Vashon Island, and come visit me at Vashon Adventures, and take an e-biking tour on our beautiful islands. And go see Captain Joe at the Lighthouse next year, I guess.
Next year, although I will be at the Lighthouse on Open House, which is on the 3rd of December.
Oh, there you go.
Bring your daughter for the Lighthouse Santa.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The Lighthouse Santa.
Comes. I didn't know about that.
Yes, I am announcing it right here. The Lighthouse Santa comes, and Point Robinson Light Station is the only lighthouse in the entire world that has the Lighthouse Santa. So bring your daughter to that.
Okay.
And you look to me like you might be a challenge to the goodness level of Santa, but that's for you and for you and Santa to work out.
I love it.
Next week, your Captain Joe will be up in the captain's chair in Norfolk, Virginia. And I will be there because it is time for all of us who sailed in the Coast Guard cutter Ingham to gather yet once again. And I am her senior living captain, her senior surviving captain. And so it falls to me to read the names of those who have crossed the bar since the last time we got together. And unfortunately and unhappily, that list keeps getting longer and longer. All of you who are Captain Joe's people know that Ingham served in Vietnam. I was her XO and then became her captain when we returned. And so Vietnam veterans are leaving us, crossing their own bar more and more frequently. If you are of served in country and you have not yet gotten on to the Agent Orange register with the Department of Veterans Affairs, please do so. And I've talked about this before. I've mentioned it again. But we have indeed come up to the time. Callie, it was just lovely having you here, and we'll talk some more.
Yes. Lovely
and
being here.
In the meantime, this is indeed your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And I am, as always, not only up in the captain's chair, but I also am, as always, on station, watching properly with all of you, all of Captain Joe's people, in the palm of my hand. Watch your six, watch the six of those for whom you are responsible, and take care.